Hello and welcome to the Global Music Show. My name is Stan Kidd. I'll be your host today on March 25th, 2009. Today we're going to focus on the music of Miriam Makeba, her work and legacy. Our guest today is Dr. Amy Cook, professor in African Studies here at UNC. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Would you mind giving a brief introduction to Miriam Makeba?
Yeah, I'd be glad. Miriam Makeba was really the heart of the South African jazz scene in the 1950s. We don't really think of jazz as being something that's not American, but it's huge globally, and South Africa has a particularly vibrant scene starting as far back as the 1930s and 40s. And she was the heart of the scene in the 1950s, and then when she was on tour outside of South Africa in the late 1950s, she defected, actually, and later on found that her passport was revoked from the South African government for anti-apartheid activities. She went and testified later on at the UN about the apartheid system, which had gone into place in the late 40s and the early 50s, and really became the face of the anti-apartheid movement in the West, and is beloved in the West because of that, but also in Africa because she sung songs in Swahili, and she lived in Guinea-Conakry and was all over the place. And later on, didn't go back to South Africa until apartheid had ended and Nelson Mandela brought her back in.
Interesting. So this first song we're going to play is probably her most favorite famous song, especially in the West, the Click Song, which has a natural name, but that's what it's pretty much what it's called here. Give me a brief background on that song in the context of what you just said.
Well, the Western-wise, the thing to think about is just that this is it's one of the Click languages, which are among the oldest languages in the human repertoire, and it's sung in Xhosa, and I can't do the Click at the beginning of that. There are apparently 15 different Clicks in the Xhosa language, and all of them are a part of the song. She says in the beginning of this track that it's a wedding song, and other tracks she refers to it as a discussion between the first Xhosa and the first Bushman about land rights and who could be there, who's going to win.
Didn't realize that. Okay. Well, we're going to go ahead and listen to this song. Thanks for listening. This is the Global Music Show. We broadcast every month on WXYC Chapel Hill, 89.3 FM.
Gets married. It's called the Click Song by the English because they cannot say Onotwane. Iqirha lendlela nguqongqothwane Iqirha lendlela kuthwa nguqongqothwane Iqirha lendlela haya nguqongqothwane Iqirha lendlela kuthwa nguqongqothwane
Johannesburg.
All right. So that was the Click Song. Which, what year did that come out for the first time in the West?
In the West, I think it came out around, it was the early 60s. Okay. The version I've heard most frequently was in 66.
And so that's probably the first real experience the West had with African music straight from Africa. I can only think about, like, you know, The Lion Sleeps Tonight before that.
Yeah, and which itself, I mean, she does a version of that as well, and it was first published in South Africa in, like, 1921,
mm-hmm.
I think.
So, okay, so we're going to go into another of her more famous songs, Pata Pata. And so this came from about the same time period as Click Song?
This was first recorded and released in South Africa in the 50s, sometime in there. But it was when she was in exile in the United States was when this hit our ears. It was on the same album, Pata Pata, as the Click Song.
All right, and after that, we're going to play this track, Kwaleza.
Yeah, Kwaleza.
Yeah, and that's done with Harry Belafonte, is mm-hmm. that what you said? All right, so we'll talk about that after we listen to these two, but we're going to listen to these two songs.
Sleep.
a South African song. It comes from the townships, reservations, locations near Johannesburg. The children shout from the streets as they see police cars coming to raid their homes for one thing or another. They say, "Kauleza, mama," which simply means, "Hurry up, mama, and hide. Please don't let them catch you." Kauleza, mama, kauleza, mama, kauleza, mama. Na ngama poi sa zongere, kauleza, mama, kauleza, mama. Na ngama poi sa zongere, kauleza, mama, kauleza. Jonga, 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 yo kauleza, mama, kauleza, mama, kauleza. Jonga, 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 yo kauleza, mama, kauleza, mama, kauleza. Na ngama poi sa zongere, kauleza, mama, kauleza. Na ngama poi sa zongere, kauleza, mama, kauleza. Jonga, 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 yo kauleza, mama, kauleza, mama, kauleza. Jonga, 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 yo kauleza, mama, kauleza, mama, kauleza. Nati jonga, 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 yo kauleza, mama, kauleza, mama, kauleza. Jonga, jonga, jonga.
Death comes a-creeping in the room.
Well, brother,
soon one morning,
morning,
death comes a-creeping in the room.
Soon,
soon one morning,
morning,
death comes a-creeping in the room. Crying, "Oh my Lord, oh my Lord, what shall I do, what shall I do?" Well, you may call on your mother,
mother,
your mama can do you no good.
Well, you may
somebody's calling my name.
Well, brother,
hush, somebody's calling my name. Hush,
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 hush.
Somebody's calling my name. crying, oh my Lord.
All right, and we're back. This is, in case you weren't listening before, this is Global Music Show on WXYC. My name is Stanton Kidd, and our guest this week is Dr. Amy Cook. And we'll be discussing Miriam Makaba, her work and legacy. So we just actually heard three songs there, Pata Pata, Koaleza, and Hush with Skylarks. Just one thing that we mentioned when we were off air there was that she actually died performing Pata Pata, right?
Yeah, she collapsed on stage in Italy back in November, had a heart attack. Yeah,
so I don't think we mentioned that earlier in the show, but there's been a lot of talk about her recently because of her recent deceased state.
And her overall importance throughout Africa, and she's just really loved all the way across the continent. One thing we should mention right there is that Hush was the last one we listened to with a real gospel sense to it was Miriam Makeba with the Skylarks, which was her own band that she formed in, I think it was pronounced Sophiatown, outside of, I think it's a suburb of Johannesburg that was completely flattened later on by the apartheid government. But it was the Harlem of South Africa at the time. It was where the real jazz scene was, where things were really happening. So that was much earlier than the Koaleza.
Oh, okay. And so this is definitely from her time in South Africa before she was exiled.
Yes, Hush was definitely. The Koaleza was originally put out on her album with Harry Belafonte, where she won a Grammy. They won a Grammy together in 1966 for Best Folk Album together. And it was the album itself had a real anti-apartheid sense to it, which you can tell in that song.
Okay, and as a sort of segue into the next tracks, she was in exile this time, and she was already married to Stokely Carmichael?
No, she got married to Stokely Carmichael, I think, in 67. So she had been in exile since, well, she had left in 1960 or so. She had defected in 59-60. Mm-hmm. Her passport was revoked in 1960 after her work in Come Back Africa, which is an anti-apartheid documentary, in 59. And then after her passport was revoked, she went to the UN, and she petitioned against the apartheid system, and so she clearly didn't get her passport back. Not only that, but her music was banned and her records were banned from being played in South Africa until 1988. So there was a long time there where she was very much estranged from her home country. And during this period in the United States, she was a part of the Black Power movement in the United States. And she gets married to Stokely Carmichael in 1967. And since her American audience was largely white, middle class, and pretty conservative, they didn't deal with that particularly well. So consumers stopped buying her albums, record companies stopped, and they cut their deals with her, radio stations stopped playing with her. And so she and Stokely Carmichael went into exile in Guinea-Conakry in West Africa. And these next two tracks we're going to listen to come out of that period of time. And she lived in Guinea-Conakry until I think 1991 or so, right in that early 80s, late 80s, early 90s period, long after she was divorced from Stokely Carmichael, because they got divorced in 73 or something.
All right, well, we're going to listen to these tracks. We're going to start with Emma Pondo, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, and so thanks for listening. This is WXYC Chapel Hill. You're listening to the Global Music Show.
Abel Abama, babakaya fuke kose ashiyelelem ne babuji o ashiyelelem ne babuji o habena ba mampoda haya fuke kose habena ba mampoda babakaya fuke kose ashiyelelem ne babuji o ashiyelelem ne babuji o
All right, and we're back. Then you're listening to the Global Music Show. Today we're focusing on the music of Miriam Makeba, both her work and her legacy. Her nickname is Mama Africa, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so one of the most important African artists in the last half century, without a doubt.
Easily.
All right, let's talk about these songs that we just heard, because we had interesting discussions about them when the music was playing. These were recorded in Guinea, where she moved with Stokely Carmichael after they married in America, and they were sort of, she was kicked out of South Africa and sort of boycotted in America, so she went back to Africa, but different place.
Different place.
Yeah, with a completely different tradition and everything. In this post-colonial era, what do you know about that time thing?
Well, there are so many places in, I mean, this is just as independence is occurring, as African countries are starting to gain their independence away from the colonial system. And a number of these countries in West Africa and East Africa had more of a Pan-Africanist feel to it, where, you know, all Africans, the diaspora, to come home. In Tanzania, for example, Nyerere, the first president of Tanzania, invited all of the diaspora to come back to Tanzania, whether they had originally, you know, their ancestors had come from Tanzania or not. They were a system that we were all one and bring them all together. And I think this is kind of what was going on in Guinea at the time. And she stayed in Guinea for a very, very long time, and even becoming the ambassador to the UN from Guinea, which was very surprising to me when I was reading about it. But I think you can sense in the music how different it is from the early stuff in South Africa and then the Caribbean infused. This is definitely African, but it's mixing together the Brazilian rumba that's very, very popular in Central Congo and the high life. It's got a very lush feel to it. Mm-hmm. And it was also lost for many years and was re-released. They found some, you know, West African vinyl that had it on there, and then were able and then put it on CD and remastered and all that jazz.
Yeah, one thing I noticed about it was specifically the guitars seemed very high life influenced, but it didn't sound like high life necessarily. But and more than the other stuff, it sounds like you can hear her moving to sort of universal African sound, I want to say. That's not really tied in to South Africa or West Africa.
Yeah, it's a Pan-African music, right. And meta-African.
Yeah, meta. Like that. Because South Africa, of course, had a very different post-colonial history with
South Africa,
apartheid, and all
very
that.
Different, and it's got its own very distinctive music sets, and it's a very, very complicated music scene with lots of little things going on and very, very different types of music. It's fascinating, but you can get lost in it.
Yeah.
And I can't pronounce any of the subgroups, so yeah. I'm not gonna go there.
Okay, so actually I didn't mention this earlier, the name of those tracks are Amapondo and Teya Teya. So she stayed in Guinea for
years,
about 30 years,
yeah.
20, I guess.
Actually. 20 years. She stayed in there till, you know, till apartheid ended, and Nelson Mandela convinced her to come back.
Interesting. So this next track we're going to listen to is KwaZulu. Do you know what the context for this song?
You know, I don't. I put it in here because it just has this real Africa feel to me, a very savanna feel to me, and I suspect it's from a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. And I know that the track after that, the Unhome, was redone for the very last album. Well, not, I don't know if that's the last album, but for the album she did after returning to South Africa. It was actually in 2000, sometime afterwards. But those two were later songs.
Okay. Well, to remind you, listen to the Global Music Show on WXRC. My name is Stanton Kidd. My host today is Dr. Amy Cook, and we're discussing the work and legacy of Miriam Makeba. So we're going to go ahead and listen to this track, KwaZulu. Thanks for listening.
Patingarangi, a guazulu, guafelu, 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 ye mama ntombi ke zangovuma guka ninsizwe mbati ntombi ke zangovuma guka ninsizwe ela mqomi kwaZulu baba mqome mapatseni mqomi kwaZulu baba mqome mapatseni angqomi kwaZulu baba mqome mapatseni mqomi kwaZulu baba mqome mapatseni ngomkhonto kaShaka bathushiza umuzi baba mqonto kaShaka baba shiza umuzi baba mqonto kaShaka bathushiza umuzi baba mqonto kaShaka baba shiza umuzi baba angqomi kwaZulu baba mqome mapatseni 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 mathinga
back. That was some more Miriam Makeba. The name of that last track was Umhome. Mm-hmm. And the one before that was KwaZulu. What can you tell me about Umhome? I know you have something printed out about actually what it's about.
Yeah, apparently it's the story of a young woman who gets married and moves into the house with her husband and her husband's cousin, actually, who's a, I'm assuming a woman, and he becomes much more interested in the cousin than he is in her. Hmm. And so it's her anger and her pain and her, you know, and all to this kind of real jazzy track where you can't, if you heard the words, it comes out. If you could speak the language, it apparently comes out. And I've seen reference to it as being what maybe should be the anthem of the new Africa, the new South Africa, where they're trying, people are really struggling, and they don't have apartheid to rail against any longer, but there's so much inequality and poverty and so many difficulties they have to overcome still in South Africa.
Yeah, I didn't notice actually sounded even more jazz-like than the early ones. It had a very sort of lilting jazz quality to it. We haven't really talked about this yet, but I mean, we've sort of alluded to it, and now that we're coming to the end of actual Makeba songs we're going to play, what is the actual impact of her in South Africa? Like, we talked about how she's called Mama Africa, and is she just sort of, is there anyone comparable to her anywhere else? I mean, is she...
Anywhere else in Africa?
Or, you know, in, like, America, or...
In America.
Just because the way she ties together so much stuff, is she just sort of a pretty unique figurehead?
She is pretty unique, and I'm it seems like there should be somebody in the American, you know, in the 60s coming out of the United States that was talking about political consciousness. But nothing's coming to mind, really, especially since she's very universal within the continent.
Right.
And I'm not sure that we have anybody that could speak to Europe as well as here or North and South America together in quite the same way. I'm not sure, coming off the top of my head, whether there's anything. And she and her influence within Africa is, I mean, the first time I heard her was in East Africa as a Peace Corps volunteer, hearing people. She was singing Malaika, which is a crooner anthem in Swahili. It's not a particularly exciting one, but it's very, very popular, very, very big. And they loved her for singing in Swahili. You know, just as in West Africa, they love her for the Guinea stuff, that she belonged to West Africa as well. She really belongs to the whole continent. Mm-hmm. And I think there's not a lot of African female singers. If you look at all these compilations of African music, they're always men. They're always Papa Wemba and Kofi Olomide. And you know, they're men. There just aren't that many women. And she was huge in making that, I think, a possibility for later generations of women.
And so another thing you mentioned that I've sort of noticed is that in every song she's not necessarily singing the same language, that depending really on the context of where she was at the time. Because I noticed that the first songs were in, I guess, both Click Song and Pada Pada were in
Xhosa.
And what do you know what about the Guinea songs? They don't really look like.
Yeah, they don't really look like. And I think one of them may be in French. It seems to me when I was listening to them the other day, I was thinking that they were in French. So, yeah, I don't think they are. And she has songs that are in English as well. For some reason, I don't enjoy them quite as much. So I didn't bring any of those in. But yeah, she's not singing specifically in one language or another. She spoke, I don't know, four different languages or something. And that's kind of common. There's a couple of other these kind of meta-Africa women, like Angelique Kidjo, who was a later generation. Mm-hmm. She sings in like five or six different languages as well. And bringing in the diaspora, bringing in all of these different angles, adapting and really emphasizing the Africanness part of jazz.
Okay, so we're going to move on to beyond Makeba herself, to sort of how her influence was felt in South African three specific singers. We're going to first start out with Brenda Fassie.
Brenda Fassie, and she's pop, but she comes at a later date, and she has a very classic American song idol life story. You know, died of a cocaine overdose, came out of a really crummy background in a bad situation. She really sings for the people in the townships in the real poverty stricken areas. But this is a great pop song, and it comes out kind of in between soon. And this is an 80s, early 90s song, and that I heard a lot in East Africa as well. So it was being felt all the way. South African music has a long reach to it.
All right. Well, we're going to listen to this song now. It's called Vulindlela.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for listening. This is WXYC Global Music Show. Today is March 25th. Our host today is me, Stanton Kidd. Our guest is Dr. Amy Cook, and we're talking about Miriam Makeba, her work, and legacy. Thanks for listening. All right, so we just listened to this track by Brenda Fassi called Vulindele. So that was an example, I guess, of sort of post-Makeba South African pop music. So these next two artists are also South African that we listened to. And you said that they were sort of described as the...
The new Mary Makeba. They're both jazz artists, although the second one we're going to hear, Thandiswa Mazwa, is out of a specialized branch of South African music, whose name totally escapes me at the moment. Kwaita, I believe it's called. But Simfiwe Dena, the first song we're going to hear is Bantu Biku Street, which won her the Best Female Artist of 2005 with this next song. These are distinctly jazz pieces, both of them are. Although the Sandiswa has some elements of hip hop, but not in this song. So Bantu Biku Street is Simfiwe Dena. And then the next song, Trans Sky Moon, is a love story about her home place. And both these women are actually from Trans Sky.
Which is not near where... Near Johannesburg.
No, I don't think so.
It's... Okay. All right, well, we're going to listen to these two right now. Listen to Global Music Show.
Zimba, 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 Zim